I'd like to read with you tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we'll start at verse number 30. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Now, sometimes the message of the gospel is contained in just straightforward statements, doctrinal statements, if you will like. Sometimes it is contained in actual examples of people who heard the message of the gospel and responded to it, and they embraced it, and they were saved, and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But in this particular case, what we find is an excerpt from this passage in which it is illustrated. The gospel message is illustrated by a story that the Lord Jesus Christ told. Actually, when he told the story, he was trying to make a point with a man who was trying to avoid and trying to dodge his own guilt trip that he had actually become conscious of himself by the very words that he had spoken out of his own mouth, by the words that he had quoted from the Old Testament in relation to the Ten Commandments. But without getting into that, what I would like to do is draw your attention to this story that has often been used to communicate, to illustrate the message of the gospel and how you and I are found in relation to it, and actually the role of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as central to that great mission of mercy that is so aptly told out for us here in the coming of this certain Samaritan as he comes to the man that is wounded and dying in the ditch. I suppose you could very quickly point out to our hearts in the first part of this story in verse number 30 that this certain man that goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho and falls among thieves, and the terrible trauma that happened to him, the terrible things that happened to him, illustrate for us the tragedy of life. You know, friend, there is a lot of tragedy that's going on in this world, and our papers are full of it. And you think of that incident. That was even there today in the paper, of that man over there in Abbotsford that is taunting the police and that is causing that family to go through such an agony of heart and soul. And the travesty of justice that is happening there, that man should be allowed to be on the loose. And of course you know that ultimately when he's brought to justice, that it's likely going to be something far short of a fear of the full justice that the man actually deserves because of the crime that he has done. And all these different things that constantly bombard our minds. And after a while, it's a sin-sick world. And you get weary of a world that is constantly tossed to and fro by the terrible tragedy that is happening today in this fast world. But I want to tell you tonight that the greatest tragedy that is happening in the world tonight is actually the tragedy of sin. And what you see in that vast, dark, ugly, crazy world that has gone so askew, that is so awry, that has gone so much off the track, that is a world that is filled with chaos and confusion, that is a world that has gone completely out of control, is simply a mirror. It is simply an amplification of a little world that's living in your own heart. And I want to tell you that there is nothing that is going on in that world out there, but that is within the capability of your own evil heart and of mine as well. I want to tell you tonight that the tragedy of life is the tragedy of sin that's in your life. Never mind the tragedy, if you like, that's around in the world, but the tragedy of sin in your life and what sin is ultimately going to do to you. Sin is something that is taking you away from God. Sin is something that is taking you every moment you live
closer to eternal ruin. And so this message of the gospel is a clarion call to pull an alarm, to sound it so that you might be stirred to think about the dilemma that finds you tonight in your sins, facing eternal ruin. And if you were to die the way you are tonight, you would be lost for all eternity. I want to tell you, sin is a terrible tragedy. Sin is a terrible tragedy. And you know what I learned here? I learned that sin is something that is the ultimate ripoff. Because sin is something that is pictured here by these men that are thieves. And here's this man that is going along on this road, and he's kind of naive to the danger. He's embarked on this trip, just like perhaps you have been thrust into life, and all unawares you're going along, you're cruising along on the little journey of time, the little journey of life. And perhaps in your early years of life, you were naive to some of the things that have crossed your path. You were naive to some of the things that came along and all of a sudden have shortchanged you. Things that have deprived you. Things that have broken you down. Things that have come into your life and caused such havoc and such terrible stress and such disorder and such decay and departure. Some of the days perhaps have been so dark in your life that you likely wished you had never been born. Maybe there's been times in your life when sin has dragged you down and sin has caused such damage to you and it's caused such hurt. It's imposed such terrible hurt and injury in your life that there have been days when you wish you could actually take your own life. Maybe there's somebody in the meeting tonight and you've actually tried to do that. I want to tell you, sin is a cruel monster. And it expresses it through sinful people. It expresses it through our sinful hearts. Our sinful ways, the way that we live our lives. You know what sin is? Sin is a thief. Sin is a robber. And Satan is the master architect behind sin that has sprung into the human family full born. And it's working its terrible carnage at this very hour. And I want to tell you, someone has put it well, that sin will take you further and you intended to stray. And sin will keep you longer than you intended to stay. And sin will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. And you know something? There's people in this meeting tonight, and it still hasn't dawned in upon your understanding that the wages of sin is death. That sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That sin in its ultimate, hideous, final effect is going to take you to eternal hell. To be buried alive in a burning, endless sea of eternal flame. And God alone knows how little I understand what that's all about. You ever read something in the paper about something that's happened? You ever read about an accident? You know, you can read that and it's kind of like, oh wow, you know? Or really just make much of a dent because it didn't happen to you. So there is something that seems to be inadequate when it comes to words to convey the reality of an experience. But you know, all of a sudden, when you're maybe firsthand, maybe face to face with an accident, maybe you're a person that's found right in it, then all of a sudden there's something there that the experience goes far beyond the actual words to convey the reality of what's involved. Look, none of us have ever been in eternity here tonight. Every one of us are going to be. But between times, we struggle with the inability to deal with the reality of what it's like for a man to die and awake in hell. Not only doomed, but damned for all eternity. And so every once in a while I stop and I wonder how I'd preach to you if I really had experienced hell even for a little while.
I wonder if we could take a person out of hell tonight and stand him behind this podium and give him a little microphone time and let him try to talk to you tonight. I wonder what he would tell you. And I wonder what kind of an attitude you would have here tonight in the meeting that would be different from the attitude you presently have. If we could take you on a 5-minute tour of hell. Because I want to tell you, friend, sin is an ultimate tragedy. Look at it. It's bad enough to be born a sinner. It's bad enough to live your life as a sinner. But there is a tragedy that compounds the whole thing. And that is, if you die the way you were born, and you go out and you face that awful, awesome, endless eternity without Christ, it is going to be a tragedy beyond compare. It defies description tonight. And you know why you're not saved? It's because you've never really woke up and smelt the coffee, as they say. You never really caught on. You never really connected with even a flicker of reality as to where you are headed tonight if you're not saved. How about it tonight? Where are you going? Because where you are going for eternity is the single greatest, most important, right now, the most pressing issue in your life. Right now, in this meeting. So we're not coming here to play church tonight. No. Because I think that's what we realize here in this passage, is that there was a futility to religion. Because here is this man, and I actually, in reading this passage, I'm kind of baffled as to tell you who is the biggest thief in the story. Because who would you say were the greatest thieves? The man that had come along and stripped him of his raiment, ambushed him, and had wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead? Or do you think it was the man whose actual mission in life, whose actual employ was, at least part of it, was that they were supposed to attend to the need of those that were in deep distress and in deep need? And so here are these men, officially called and qualified apparently, to be able to attend to the need of this man in the ditch, and they come along, and in the case of the one, as he comes down that way, he sees them, he just kind of nonchalantly just passes by on the other side. The other man, he comes along, and you know what he does? He comes and he looks on them. He not only just kind of passes a glance, but he stops and he looks at the spectacle of a man who has been divested of everything. And in fact, the intention of the original thieves was that this man might be left to die. And it's not as if he was at a fixed condition in life. It wasn't as if they had beat him up and they had ripped the clothes off him and they had taken away his belongings and they had just left him there in a static condition where he was half dead. And that's just where he was at. You know what the man was? He was dying, just like you are right now. I want to tell you tonight, there's nothing static about your condition. Every moment you live tonight on that broad road taking you towards eternal doom, every moment that you live, it's getting increasingly darker. Every moment that you trifle with this matter outside of the gate of salvation, your situation becomes all the more probable that you'll miss it for eternity. And this man is en route to a certain death. So which were the greater thieves? Those thieves that tore everything from him, took everything from him, wanted to take his life from him? Or these men that came along and could have, but didn't. Should have, but didn't. You know what I want to tell you tonight? The futility of religion. Listen, man, what you don't need tonight. My dear lady, you don't need another church. You don't need another religion. It's not some ritual you need tonight. You don't need to get baptized. It's not coming to take communion. Listen, friend, what you don't need is turning over a new leaf in your life. It's like someone has said, turning over a new leaf is like turning over the compost pile. All it's going to do is accelerate the decay. The decomposition of sin in your life. Friend, tonight, what you need is like they have said, it's said so well. And it's this. It's kind of like as if you could go into a coat store and there's a coat there, a dime a dozen. Actually, they're not that cheap. but they're just lying down the rack. You could pick one that you like, one that fits your particular taste, and you can go in there and fix the particular time of year or whatever. And you'll walk out there with a coat, and you can walk down the streets of this city, and you can pick the church of your choice. You ever heard that expression? The church of your choice. That's the way people go, you know. Oh, I really feel good at that church, you know, so I go there, you know. It's such a warm feeling. And makes me feel real close to God. What's it do for them? That's about all it does for them. Makes them feel close to God. Doesn't make them any closer to God. Doesn't save them. Hey, I'm not knocking you coming here tonight. But this isn't a church. This is just a hall. And, you know, I want to tell you tonight that we're not preaching religion. We're not preaching church. But what we are trying to preach is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because that's the only thing that will do you any good. All of the religion in the world won't take you one inch closer to heaven. So friend, if you're in bad trouble, you're in deep trouble tonight. So here is the situation. And I think then of the tragedy of life. I think of the futility of religion. And as I look on this whole situation, every passing moment that is going by is bringing this man ever so much closer to the brink. And that reminds me of the fragility of life. You know, every one of us, it's almost like the old clock is ticking down. Every one of us is like we came into life and the clock, the alarm clock, was fully wound up. And it's ticking down. It's on the rundown. It's on the countdown. And we're all coming closer to the end. And some of us closer than we think. And you never know who in this meeting is going to be the next to go. You just never even know how you're going to go, do you? It's so unpredictable. You know, I was thinking of a woman that this past summer, I just went to her funeral before I came up here. And you know, this lady lived down the road, and from some people that were Christians in the meeting at home, and they were pretty down to earth, unassuming, unpretentious kind of people. And then they heard the news that Phyllis had come home from the hospital. 42 years old. 3 children. And the doctors had found 18 spots of cancer on her brain. And you know what the doctor said to her before she came home? He said, "Phyllis, at really any time, you will not be able to have the ability to reason or think clearly. I cannot predict," he says, "how it's going to go. All I can tell you is there's nothing more that we can do for you. Anything he says you're going to do, he says, anything you have to do, do it in the next 2 weeks. Okay?" And one day in her room of her house, you know what she said? She says, "You know, I think I'm kind of lucky. Lucky? Yeah," she said, "I think I'm kind of lucky. Just because a lot of people, they kind of don't get told when the end's coming. But," she says, "you know, I think God allowed this to happen in my life so that I could find out about it. And I could get ready to die." I looked at her and I just thought to myself, "Man, Phyllis, you are one smart woman. You know what? Make arm twisted to get her to read her Bible. Oh, we had to slip over to Stratford and get her a large print Bible because it was starting to affect her vision. You know what? Every time we went there, there's only one thing she wanted to talk about. That's what we're talking about in the meeting tonight. Maybe there's somebody here.
and somebody actually had to nearly twist your arm off to get you to come. If you had your druthers, you wouldn't be here. Are you here like that today? Well, boy, you know, if you could just get an old understanding that what life is all about is getting ready for eternity. It's a dressing room for eternity. It's a launch pad for eternity. And so, when she never even came out to a gospel meeting, but one night, she was in her room about 4 o'clock in the morning and she couldn't sleep. And I just stared off into the darkness and she said, I was just thinking to myself, you know, I wonder how I could really know that it's really true for me. And she says, it just kind of came into my mind that, yes, Phyllis, it really is true for you. The Lord Jesus really did die for you. And she says, I just lay back on my pillow. And she says, I just really felt a tremendous sense of peace. And so, just a week before she died, I called up her neighbor that had witnessed to her over the years, and I said, I wouldn't mind seeing Phyllis one more time, if it's at all possible, if she's up to it. So we drove down the road, and her mom's in the kitchen. She said, just go on into the living room. She's there on the couch. And there she was, just skin and bones, gasping for every breath. Got the oxygen turned up as high as the doctors will allow it. And, you know, we read her. We read her about what heaven's going to be like. No more sickness. No more pain. No more crying. No more tears. No more death. And she's kind of crying. Being a Christian doesn't mean you don't cry when you're going to die. It doesn't mean you're impervious to sadness and separation. But you know what she said? I just said to her, well, Phyllis, I says, are you still enjoying your salvation? And I guess you kind of have to see it all of a sudden, with the tears still on her face. It just opens up into a wide beaming smile. She says, oh yes, I sure am. You know what we're here to tell you tonight? There's a tragedy of sin in your life. And there's a tragedy of hell on your horizon. But there's someone that came into the world to reverse that. And to help you escape that. And sidestep that for all eternity. You know what it is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Came where we were, and he came to us in our sin, and he came to, just like this man did here, to show the compassion of his eternal heart. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know if you're convinced of the reality of what I'm trying to talk to you about right now. I don't know if you've relegated it that it's just, another church, just another little speech, just a little message from the Bible. I don't know what you're thinking right now. But I earnestly wish with all my heart, and I strongly urge you tonight, that you might turn your back on a world that doesn't care the snap of their finger for you. That you might turn your back on even the selfish impulses and desires of your wicked, godless heart. And that you might flee to the open arms of the man that was nailed to a cruel, rugged cross that died and by his blood paid for you in crimson suffering all that God required so that when you could die, you would slip into heaven and home for all eternity. Look, there is something real about what I'm talking about. It's the person of the Savior. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's really all that matters. God help you tonight to go in for getting this, because nothing less than this will take you to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just bow in thy presence now to seek for thy blessing upon us, and we realize even now as we speak to these people, O God, that it is very probable that we are speaking to people who are still asleep spiritually. They are not awakened to their sin. They are not convinced of the terrible risk that they face as onward they go without Christ as Savior. And Lord, we would pray that thou wilt waken every one of us up. And we pray that we might be stirred like never before. We ask that thou wilt draw near and awaken individuals. Maybe it's some boy or girl who will, unnoticed tonight, be awakened and will flee and trust the Savior. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart, no matter what the age, no matter what the condition. And we pray that no person will leave this meeting untouched without having heard the voice of God. And so we come to the close of this meeting. Pray for thy blessing and protection upon us as we travel to our homes and as we reconvene to pray just downstairs. O God, we would desire to lay hold upon thee and pray that thou wilt intervene to abort the terrible tragedy of sin and of eternal hell. God, have mercy upon us, we pray, as we give thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. Let's just sing in closing a hymn, There's a Voice That Is Calling for Thee. Number 132, and we thank you very much for coming to the meeting tonight. And again, those that can join us in prayer, feel free to go ahead to commence, even as the meeting is dismissed. 132, and we'll just sing the first two verses in the chorus, and the meeting is over. And remember the meetings that have been announced, and try to come back again, God willing.